Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road.
And we think that the best child that we could possibly have would be one that just looks perfect on the outside, and we really don't care what's going on the inside.
Wow, that is good.
And as you go through the Gospels, you realize that the Pharisees were the epitome of good kids. People who had everything down the right way. You wanted your kids to marry them. They were the future leaders of the community. And they stood in front of Jesus and did not recognize the one who created them.
Yeah.
And they accused him of being a tool for Satan. And you think, wow, okay, that's not what I want when I'm helping my kids grow into moral human beings.
Training your children to love God is more important than teaching them good behavioral skills. Learn more from Pastor Bill Smith at FamilyMinute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Mid-State Precious Metals is open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. in Atascadero, across from the movie theater. If you're looking for an appraisal or quote on your gold or silver, go see Ron at Mid-State Precious Metals for a free quote. With gold and silver at an all-time high, this is the time. They are one of the highest paying bullion dealers on the West Coast, and they can walk you through the steps to buy and sell with no commitment. Check them out at MidstatePreciousMetals.com or stop by anytime in Atascadero, Tuesday through Friday.
Good afternoon and welcome to Free Talk California with Susanna Luthi on AM 1230 KPRL 99.3 FM. Phone lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. California Free Talk is brought to you by A-Town Diner in Atascadero on El Camino Real. Now open for dinner every night. Ask about the daily specials. And now, Free Talk California on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Free Talk California. I am finally back. That was a very long maternity leave, mainly because the baby did not come when the due date said she was going to come. So I thought I was going to have the baby, and then a couple weeks went by, and then I had the baby. So anyway, she's doing great. Loved my home birth. Won't go into all the details, but it was a beautiful birth, and very happy to have a healthy little girl. And I was able to see some of you during my maternity leave. Those of you who stopped by the ranch to buy bison meat, really appreciate all of you. And yeah, hopefully we'll see more of you. Anyway, it's really, really good to be back in the studio, and I'm very happy to welcome Steve Hayward, who's got to be one of my most frequently requested guests. Yes, you're very popular.
Oh, my.
Yes. And we're very lucky to have you local.
Well, it's good to see you again, Susanna. By the way, a late child, you realize, you know, kids take longer to grow up these days.
Yes. I know. Is she going to be?
The harbinger.
Am I going to be 70 before... She's out of the house. I don't know. Anyway, I don't know if Steve needs an introduction because you've been on the show a few times, but he's a political scholar. Shall I call you a man of letters?
You can do that.
All right. I'm going to call you a man of letters. And we're going to have a lot of fun today. We're going to talk about the California governor's race. Now, full disclosure, during Lent, I can't remember if it was before or after the baby was born, I deleted my Twitter account or X account completely because I just was finding myself just enraged all the time. And I wasn't actually picking up anything that I needed to get done. And I have to say, the silence has been clarifying, and I just don't ride the waves of emotion anymore. But what almost pulled me back was the implosion of Eric Swalwell's campaign. And I will say this because I covered him. I didn't really cover him, but I knew him when he was a congressman still, which was very recent. And his reputation was so bad. I mean, these texting scandals with the staffers, that was widely known. He did it with some reporters, too. But no one would talk about it, and he was so protected. Nancy Pelosi protected him so much. And I was shocked it didn't come out when he ran for president. Remember, he had like that week-long campaign. But the fact that he had the hubris to run for governor, and that the establishment who knew all of this stuff, still, they all endorsed him. So what was this? Is this going to hurt the Democratic Party in California, or has it all been wiped away, swept under the rug already? Has Nancy Pelosi been held to account for making him her?
Well, this is only the beginning of the strangeness. I always thought he was quite a repulsive human being. And astounding, he thought he could run for president as one of, 500 congressmen from California, however many we have.
Right.
And nobody has successfully run for president from the House since, Zachary Taylor in 1848 or something. So you've got to have
this is why we have a man of letters in the studio to remind us of these things.
I think that's the right, but it's been a very long time. So you have to have a screw loose to think you can run for president out of the House without having a big national profile. I mean, Jack Kemp tried it in 1988, but he was nationally famous, and Swalwell was not. And so now he's, okay, I'll run for governor. Well, that maybe is a little more plausible. But California is stacked with a lot of ambitious Democrats. Kamala Harris took a pass on the race. She would have easily won the nomination, I think, from Democrats. But and the interesting was, suddenly, I didn't think Swalwell was going to do very well, but then one day you wake up and he's leading in the polls. Even though Tom Steyer is spending, $100 million of his own money and blanketing the airwaves, and doesn't seem to be getting much traction for all that money.
Right.
Because now that Swalwell is out, suddenly Xavier Becerra is in the lead. And he didn't have a lot of money, and I guess he's got some name ID, but it shows me the weakness of Steyer.
And also, the establishment all lined up behind Swalwell,
right,
because he was favored by Pelosi in the House. And Becerra has a similar establishment credential profile. He was a longtime congressman, kind of did nothing. He was on Ways and Means, I remember that. Then he was California AG, and I interviewed him a few times when he was California AG, because he was the one leading the fight for Obamacare. Remember that?
Oh, yes.
And he struck me as a distinctly unintelligent person. I mean, his staffers had to answer any question of whatever, of any detail. He did not know really what he was doing. Was he a lawyer? Is he a lawyer?
Well, he must be, to be attorney general.
Yes, but
that's a low bar these days.
Yeah.
Biden picked him to be head of Health and Human Services, where he was distinctly mediocre at the job. So
not only
though,
that,
right?
He, a New York Times investigation, I just looked this up to see who reported it. It was the New York Times. Remember, he lost 85,000 children, migrant children. Right.
Yes.
Lost them.
Yeah, he's being attacked for that right now by other Democrats
good.
And ads that Tom Steyer is paying for.
Oh, okay.
So he was so mediocre as head of Health and Human Services that there was a lot of talk that the Biden White House were going to dump him.
Yes, a lot of talk. In
right.
fact, Politico had it because they specialize in kind of the palace intrigue.
Right.
And he was really the only cabinet secretary who got much negative press from them.
Yeah, and I think two things held him back. One is Joe Biden's senility. He never fired anybody.
Right.
And I think also there was the identity politics angle. Becerra was the most prominent Hispanic in his government, and it would have been politically damaging to fire him and only him from the cabinet when so many people deserve to be fired from that cabinet.
Well, even his selection as HHS, it raised a lot of eyebrows because he had no interest in becoming HHS secretary. It was assumed that he got it as a thank you for leading the charge to save Obamacare, and he was that was the gossip, at least,
yeah,
at the time, that he was promised something and he did not want HHS, but that's what he got.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, HHS has a larger budget, just that department, than, half the governments of Europe, her whole country.
Yeah.
It's not one of the top, usually the top cabinet jobs are Treasury, Justice, State, and what else? I can't remember. Defense. But HHS has got to be in fifth place in the cabinet hierarchy simply because of what it oversees and how big it is.
However, very important.
It is, but it's a thankless job because it does do too much. I mean, they manage Social Security, they manage all
Medicare,
the welfare programs and Medicare.
Medicaid,
and,
yep.
Oh, what a nightmare that is to run. And it's been the graveyard for a lot of ambitious politicians over the years, I think.
Yes, and then he was, every time anything went wrong with, or public dissatisfaction with the COVID response, which was terrible, he got to get the blame because he was the health secretary.
Yeah, they made him a scapegoat to some extent, yes.
Yes, yes. Oh, I want to remind everyone, this is new since I have been gone. Not only can you call in at 805-238-5775, you can also text this number if you are too shy to have your voice on air. You can text your questions. No one will ever know it's you. And now's your chance to ask a question about the governor's race of Steve. So so text that. All right. So yeah, so Swalwell is out. Apparently he is still collecting a salary from his campaign. I did an episode on him. I couldn't believe that another reason I couldn't believe he ran for governor was because he famously, and my former employer, the Washington Free Beacon, has done amazing reporting on this. And I actually got to do some of this fun reporting. He's famously terrible with his finances and can't, even though he's got all the help in the world with his, thanks to his congressional position, and he had a six-figure salary, and his wife seemed to make quite a bit of money. He did not have a savings account. He did not have a bank account, and he used his campaign funds as basically a personal slush fund to pay for all a very, very highfalutin lifestyle.
Yeah, it's funny how many campaign appearances require that you stay at the Ritz-Carlton.
Yes.
But yes, he's basically been couch surfing.
And go to Paris.
Friends, right? No, it's completely ridiculous.
Yes, yes. So anyway, so next we have Katie Porter. And Katie Porter, so she was kind of not very popular with her Democratic peers in the House of Representatives. She became famous with a certain subset of probably female voters, I think, because she'd pull out this whiteboard during congressional hearings and write things on it and yell at CEOs. Then she spent a ton of money. She was a great fundraiser because of that, I think. She had a big campaign chest going into the Senate race, got third place in the Senate race with this huge campaign chest, and so then decided to go for governor. Does she know anything about governing? I mean, it's kind of like any of these people. Javier Becerra obviously doesn't. He lost children who were on his watch. But yes, Katie Porter, another one just out of the House and hasn't really had any other jobs. She was in academia.
Yeah, though she's almost as horrifying a human specimen as Swalwell. Yeah, the whiteboard, that was quite a gimmick. I mean, look, House hearings, especially these days, are just performances.
Yes.
They're bed for theater. Gone are the days when hearings actually meant to get some real answers about legislation or some scandal or problem in the administration. And now that's just a showboating to get on TV. So she was very good at that. But boy, is she prickly and has a real thin skin. We saw this a few months ago when somebody asked her a tough question. I forget what it was now, but
it wasn't even that tough. I know what you're talking about.
Right, and she got all huffy and eventually ended the interview. And there's also the video of her cussing out a staffer who walked behind her and get the, you know what, out of my shot. And so she's a really unpleasant person.
The stories about her are amazing. There was an Instagram account almost devoted to her when I was in D.C. and I remember one instance, she was flying with her kids back to D.C. and she had them in coach and she put herself in first.
Of course. She didn't
fly with her kids. And then the divorce filings from divorce were quite something when she allegedly poured boiling potatoes or
hot mashed potatoes
on her ex-husband's head. He had quite a few things to say.
Yeah, and of course, remember about senators and House members. You made a very good point a moment ago. They don't actually have any executive responsibility.
No.
They mostly give speeches, occasionally to try and write legislation, but they have lawyers who write the language for them.
Mm-hmm.
And all my years in Washington, I would always pay attention to one metric for who's a decent person, and that was staff turnover.
Yes.
So certain members of the House and Senate are legendary for having unbelievably loyal staffs who work for them for years. on both parties, and the opposite, right? People who have extremely high staff turnovers because they're horrible people and you can't stand to work for them. Well, she's high on that list of high staff turnover.
High staff turnover, yes, she did. And yes, I'm blanking on the name of this Instagram account, but it was something about how staffers anonymous or something right. like that. There are quite a few stories. And anyone who can't manage people, how are they going to manage a state?
Oh, and yes, when you have the actual pressure of executive office and you're abusive, imagine how that's going to go. Mm-hmm. So, but it's been fun to watch. Tom Steyer was running ads attacking Swalwell after he'd already dropped out. I think the ads were already bought, but they didn't have something to get up quickly to replace them. So, and now he's attacking Becerra. And so we'll have to, you know, as someone likes to say in the Oval Office, we'll just have to see what happens. But
yes.
it's fun to watch the Democrat, you know, if you like popcorn as much as I do, it's fun to pop up 64-gallon drum of it and watch this drama unfold.
I'm not there yet just because I'm terrified that one of them is going to become governor.
Yeah, right.
So Tom Steyer is interesting. Didn't he? There was a rumor in D.C. and it never really happened, but there was a rumor he was going to challenge Feinstein for her seat when she was still alive. It was a short rumor. I think it was, does he have a brother who's also involved in politics?
Oh, I think that's right. Now that you
mentioned
it. Maybe
it was his brother. I don't know.
I've generally, you know, he ran for president back in 2020, and right. he only got on the debate stage because he spent, again, tens of millions of dollars of his own money. Mm-hmm. Didn't impress anybody. I think, by the way, thought experiment, if he does win, I hope President Trump's nickname for him is Governor Bobblehead, because in all these ads, he's bobbing his head like the bobblehead you get at the baseball park. He looks really ridiculous. And he's quite radical. And so,
radical. He really hates Prop 13.
Oh, well, all the Democrats do. He will just do it more openly. I do think a killer question that I would hope someone would ask him between now and primary day on the Democratic side is Mr. Steyer, if you should happen to win and be our next governor, do you pledge to serve out your entire 4 years of the term or are thinking of running for president in 2028? So I guarantee you he is, and yes. that will be he'll have to disclaim it or say something. But how he answered that would be interesting.
Yes. I just saw some kind of breakdown of how much time Newsom's been spending in the state. And right. I think there's a headline saying he'd quiet quit. What was that? Yeah. Quiet quitting.
Right.
Because he just isn't even in the state anymore. Has he weighed in at all on the race?
No, he's staying scrupulously neutral, like incumbents should. I'll bet he has people he doesn't want, and I'm not sure who they are. I'm not sure if he likes anybody in the field.
I was thinking, I just kind of think of Becerra as the next establishment pick. Now that Swalwell's out, there was so much conspiracy that the top Democrats had taken Swalwell out, which could be, you know, maybe they were scared this would all come out
right
in the final run up. At the same time, they didn't all have to jump in and endorse him. Well, and no one else kind of fit his profile of being so establishment right. friendly. So I don't know.
Here's an interesting question. With all the money Steyer has and with all of his progressive positions, uber progressive positions in many cases, is why the establishment Democrats haven't gotten behind him, because, look, he can pay for his own campaign. We can save money and spend it elsewhere. Instead, I think the party establishment is leery of him for the oldest reason. He can't be bought. And that means that all the interest, I think, so the all the teachers' union, all the other groups, they lined up behind Swalwell.
Yes.
Because he was definitely the same thing is true of Becerra. Becerra, he's another, creature of the establishment. That means that he's beholden to the teachers' union, the mm-hmm. SEIU, and the public employee unions, and all the other interest groups. Whereas Steyer's kind of a free agent. They don't like that.
Right.
And, I mean, I think he'd be horrible as a governor, both for his general reasons and also because of that. I mean, say what you will about all those left-wing Democratic groups. They are predictable, at least.
Right.
And they have to work with each other to some extent and do some horse trading amongst themselves. Well, Steyer could ignore all of that
mm-hmm.
for good or ill, almost surely for ill.
Mm-hmm. Is he from California?
I don't know. You know, I've paid.
He's
so
just a creature. He just pops up. He pops up now and then, spending a ton of money in, in a high profile race, and then otherwise, I don't really know much about him.
Right.
He does give a lot to very left wing causes.
Oh, that's for sure. Yeah.
So, yes, and those seem to be the. I don't know. It doesn't seem that Katie Porter has much of a chance, but it looks like Becerra and Steyer are the ones to watch out for.
Yeah, well, that's right now. It's the latest polls have it with Becerra leading, Steve Hilton, the Republican, second, and a Steyer close in behind, within the margin of error. It's really hard to poll a race like this with this many candidates and this much volatility. But, you know, we'll see.
It seems to change by the day.
Yeah, the undecided vote is still something like 20% here a month out. And those are probably Democratic voters, but I'm not sure. Some might be independents and Republicans who haven't really paid much attention.
I know. My big worry, because it is the top two, people just ignore primaries. So many people ignore primaries. And in this case, you really can't, because you don't want two Democrats in there.
Well,
you know?
I hate to game it out this way, but thought experiment. It is possible that you have Becerra and Steyer finish 1-2. You have all Democrats in a November election. Mm-hmm. We've seen that in the Senate before. I mean, Kamala Harris in 2018, it was her and Kevin DeLeon from Los Angeles, and there was no Republican on the ballot. Well, in that race, but especially a governor's race like this, normal politics say when you have people from the two parties, they move to the center and compete for independent and centrist voters. What could happen in this case is you have two people who are left of center. They're going to be catering to the far-left base of the Democratic Party. It'll be the craziest far-left campaign you've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to turn off a lot of voters.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Well, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about the Republican candidates in the race, Chad Bianco and Steve Hilton. Bianco, of course, has been on this show. And Hilton's staff never responded to my invite, so he has not. But yes, we will talk about them and, yeah, some gaming out of the scenario. So stay with us. You're listening to Free Talk California.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero, the best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care, all your vehicle needs, everything you want.
Fox News, I'm Tom Graham. The fragile ceasefire with Iran facing its biggest threat to date as President Trump announced plans for U.S. forces to guide vessels through the Strait of Hormuz. Fox's Lucas Tomlinson explains several small boats were sunk as a result.
The commander of U.S. Central Command says Apache gunships and MH-60 Seahawk helicopters have destroyed six Iranian gunboats in the Strait of Hormuz.
Iran views the effort as a violation of the ceasefire and warns that any foreign military force in the strait will be targeted. Secretary of State Marco Rubio planning to travel to the Vatican to meet with Pope Leo.
Secretary Rubio's trip later this week comes after clashes between President Trump and the first American-born pope over the Iran war and other U.S. policies. The Pope said his criticisms have never been directed at President Trump.
Fox's Grinnell Scott, America is listening to Fox News.
Another tenant emergency? With MPM Property Management, help is always just one call away. Our on-staff general contractor and broker handle maintenance issues quickly and professionally with 24/7 emergency support. From leasing to maintenance, we're here for you. No hidden fees, no surprises, just reliable service, happy tenants, and peace of mind for property owners. MPM Property Management. We handle the hard stuff so you don't have to. Visit PassoPM.com or call today.
Welcome back to Free Talk California. We almost didn't make our cue because we were talking about this race. So Steve brought up a really good point. I have completely forgotten to mention the centrist Democrat mayor from San Jose, Matt Mahan is his name.
Mahan, I think.
And he announced a few months ago, and the tech guys who really don't want to be Republican, but are kind of becoming Republican, but they still want to be Democrat, they got very excited about him because he talk sense on homelessness, and he's a little more law and order friendly. And he was kind of the only Democrat in the state willing to criticize the governor for still. So, yeah, so he jumped in and he's just never seemed to break ground. What do you think of that? Are there no moderate Democrats left in California or what?
Well, not many. I mean, the other mayor who may be qualified, it's still early to say, but this guy, is it Daniel Lurie, the mayor of San Francisco?
Yes.
Right, and he ran out of disgust for how crazy things have gotten, and he has his hands full. But he's done some sensible things. The city's coming back a bit. Because, look, San Francisco is too pretty to simply swirl the drain forever.
But
progressives can do a lot of ruin. Mm-hmm. So Mayan is the sort of person that a lot of national centrist Democrats have been saying for 2 or 3 years now we need to see. It's people like Ezra Klein at the New York Times, and Matt Iglesias is very smart, I'll say centrist progressive. He's really defected from the progressive party line. And they've been saying just some mayor in some big city needs to run the place sensibly. Control crime, get control of homelessness, make the schools work, make transit work, and don't be raising taxes through the roof every other day. Well, that sounds almost like a Republican mayor, but still, Mayan looks like to fit the bill. And I do know from some good sources that the tech oligarchs in Silicon Valley are completely disgusted with Newsom and the Democrats in California.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're right that they don't want to become Republicans, but so they're backing him big.
I've heard Google's Sergey Brin is flirting with being a Republican.
Yes.
Is that true?
Well, look how many of them, I've seen those reports, but look how many of them showed up for Trump's inauguration.
Yeah.
Right? You know, Bezos was there, and of course he's, you know, turned the Washington Post upside down and inside out and made it better. Too late, in my opinion, but still. So I have mixed feelings about this. I had heard, actually, that the tech oligarchs thought a year or so ago about running another recall against Newsom. They were so disgusted. And someone pointed out to them that, you know, you've got all the money and could do that, but it's not going to work. So pick a candidate for this year. So they're backing Mayan, and that makes sense, I think, from their point of view. I have mixed feelings about the tech oligarchs suddenly having a come-to-Jesus moment. I mean, they have...
They helped create the supermajority that's unbreakable. They bear all the blame because it was it was bad, you know, with all the labor money, but they made it unstoppable.
Oh, absolutely. And they were so smug about it. And we have this initiative apparently going to the ballot to tax billionaires, and it's a thoroughly horrible idea. And I'm half tempted to vote for it just to punish them for 2 decades of backing the wrong horse.
Yep.
So you deserve this punishment, you morons. But the point is if it does come down to, let's say it's Hilton and Becerra, the tech people are going to have to decide to swallow their pride or their track record or whatever and decide who they're going to back. And I think a lot of them might actually back Hill. Or if Chad Bianco surges ahead and becomes the Republican who breaks through, same thing. But for now, I think they're going to look at a final election between Becerra and Steyer with absolute horror, and even more of them will move out of the state, regardless of what happens with that stupid proposition.
Well, I have some inside info on the San Francisco congressional race. It's very similar.
Oh God.
Some people who are publicly backing Scott Wiener are actually privately backing the Republican turned moderate Democrat. Her name is Marie Hurriabelle, I think. But they won't go out in public and say it.
Right.
And they won't. They raise money for Wiener, but then they're saying they hope she wins. It makes no sense. Are you that? Who are you scared of?
Yeah.
Are people going to not come to your parties? I mean, what? Are you going to be socially ostracized by who? You know, you all have so much money. I don't know.
My attitude would be, if they're that foolish, I don't want to go to any of their parties.
I know, exactly.
Exactly.
All right. So now it was looking kind of hopeful. You know, this was with way too many people undecided, but there is a lot of optimistic chatter about 2 Republicans pushing the Democrats out of the ballot completely. That's Chad Bianco and Steve Hilton. They're both pulling at the top there when there were so many Democrats in and so many voters undecided. Do you think that's still a possibility?
I always thought it was somewhat remote. And I think it's more remote, but not impossible. I mean, here's one thing I expect. I've got to think that some group, maybe it's the tech people, maybe it's some other independent group, is going to drop some opposition research and some ads on Steyr. Steyr's already beating up Xavier Becerra, and you know, we'll see how that goes among Democratic voters. So it could be they all bounce back to earth a little bit, and then Hilton and Bianco, they might just squeak through. And wouldn't that be a fun day? I mean, Democrats will commit Harry Caray if you had two Republicans.
They would. The they would. November. I don't know what they'd do.
That's the reason to pray for it, if you're
exactly.
a praying person.
Well, it's also interesting. So Steyr is dropping all this money on ads. Is that how campaigns are even won now, though? Because it seems to be, social media seems to be where everything is. And I get fed, I'm off of Twitter completely. But when I was on there, I really just got fed what the algorithm knew that I looked at. So conservative content. Right. I don't really know what liberals are being fed on the governor's race because I just... The algorithm knows me too well.
Yeah, well, TikTok. I've never been on TikTok.
I haven't either.
Because I don't trust the Chinese provenance of the thing. I'm off Twitter, too. Not because I plan to, but my account got hacked, and I can't seem to get Twitter to get it back to me. And I haven't missed it much, so I follow you. Forget it. I'll just let the hacker have it. I did use it. I did actually follow a lot of lefty sources as opposition research, right?
Right, right.
Same reason I read the New York Times and watch the network news. I want to know what they're thinking.
Well, I did too, but the algorithm just seemed to know.
Yeah.
Because it was hard for me to see their stuff unless I went out of my way.
Right.
You know, when you're just kind of being lazy looking.
Right. Although, you know, a lot of our friends would link to and argue with them, and you'd see it through, you know. But yeah, TV ads, I don't know if TV ads work anymore. Somebody must be persuading the campaign consultants that they still work, or campaigns wouldn't spend so much money on
them. They're so expensive, especially in California.
Right. Now, maybe if they reinforce the more direct social media targeted, algorithmically driven messages people get. I don't know. I know some people in this business. I should ask them about this, but I haven't lately. So,
yes, I need to too. I should have a campaign consultant on and say, what's your thinking? So what are the lefty accounts on social media saying about these candidates? Because it's hard for me to see anyone getting excited about Javier Becerra.
I don't know, and I think the fact that we haven't heard tells you something right there. That first Swalwell, now Becerra have surged, but you don't get the sense that there's any great. I haven't seen bumper stickers, lawn signs,
billboards, either.
Anything.
Nothing.
So I don't see a lot of excitement for anybody in the field, which tells you something about Democrats today.
It does. It does. And after the break, if you wouldn't mind, I'd love to just take a little detour to the LA mayor's race because I'm finding that very fascinating. Yeah. LA, I have a soft spot for LA. Are you from the LA area?
Yes, I am.
I have a soft spot. San Francisco, I can take or leave. I've lived in both cities. LA is, I've got a soft spot for LA.
Yeah,
and nothing about San Francisco ever excites me, but the Spencer Pratt, because I've seen his Instagram ads, which are absolutely brilliant. And he actually makes me think of the old LA that I knew because he just wants that back. And he's made a very good point. I listened to part of his interview on Joe Rogan, and he made the very good point about how the progressive policies that have broken Los Angeles, like they broke San Francisco, they really depend on demoralizing you so you don't think it can be fixed anymore. So anyone who has any kind of passion and desire to change it just feels that they can't because it just gets so overwhelming.
Right.
And that's such a good point about California as a whole, I think. And, you know, at least we have pockets that aren't horrific yet.
You know,
it's not a zombie apocalypse in every town at this point. But that is, you know, On the statewide level, no Republican has really captured that in articulating that vision the way that he's doing in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's a reality TV star, so he knows how to sell that And that's kind of been missing. But on the other hand, the Democrats have nothing, like things are bad enough statewide. The Democrats can't run on, I mean, there's nothing they can run on.
Certainly not their record.
They can't run on their record.
You know, it's funny. A year ago, I wrote a slightly tongue-in-cheek article for the New York Post saying Bill Maher ought to run for governor. And if he did, I think Republicans ought to support him. This is before we had any Republicans we'd even heard of.
Right. He could run.
Right?
Yes, he could.
Because, you know, look, he's a socialist. He's socially liberal and all the rest of that. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, he gets the score on how bad progressive governance is. And so he had Gavin Newsom on the other night and really skewered him.
Yes, right. he was the first interviewer I've seen since Adam Carolla to hold his feet to the fire. And I don't think Newsom would talk to Adam Carolla anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty funny.
Yes. And what did he just did what he always did, dodge the hard questions and just say, we're the fourth largest economy. That's all he says.
Like he caused that. I mean, he inherited that. He's on his way to making it the 10th largest economy the way things are going. But
yes. So do you think, speaking of Newsom, do you think that he's still a dangerous contender for 28?
I don't think so. In fact, I mean, my first pass on that is, oh my, he's a dead man walking. He's absolutely doomed. The problem is, and his popularity ratings in California are down 30% or below. Mm-hmm. So he couldn't get reelected to anything in this state if he was still eligible. Mm-hmm. The problem is a lot of people around the country don't know this.
No, they don't.
And they see this handsome guy. He gets this good kid glove press treatment. He's touring the early primary states, and a lot of them could be fooled. Mm-hmm. I think, in the same way that, you know, Bill Clinton came out of seemingly nowhere, and people didn't know about his mixed record in every way in Arkansas, and you know, there suddenly he's this dominant person. So I do say people should not underestimate his political appeal outside of California. But that said, I know that you don't need to be a genius to know this. So the national Democratic establishment is terrified of Kamala Harris running again. They do not want her again.
And she wants to run again.
Well, she's saying she's thinking about and all that. And then the next person they don't want is Gavin Newsom.
Really? They don't? Yeah.
I think they know that he's got too much baggage and that in a long, sustained campaign, it would be hard to conceal that from the voters all the way through a year-long campaign for president. He might get the nomination, but after that, it'd be like Dukakis in 98, who, remember, was ahead of George H.W. Bush by 18 points in July, ended up losing by 6 or 8 because he could not conceal his liberalism. And I think that would happen to Newsom.
Huh. Well, you know, you predicted the 24 election correctly. So you've got a pretty good prediction record. So. That's good because I go back and forth. No way could he ever make it with his record.
Yeah.
I mean, just the Palisades victims alone and his little dancing shimmy. in the age of memes, you can be really, really brutal.
Oh, and the train and the homelessness.
The train.
Highest poverty rate, highest unemployment rate by a full percentage point.
Just pathetic schools. That have just continued to spiral ever since his COVID policies.
I think you would just do interviews, you know, little 15 and 30 second radio and TV spots of people who left California.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hundreds of thousands. How do you take a place like California and make hundreds of thousands of people want to leave?
I know.
No one's leaving Florida or Georgia or South Carolina. That's where they're moving to. Or Texas.
Yeah.
This is the only state in the sort of the Sun Belt or, you know, on the coast where people are leaving.
Yes. And
it's unbelievable.
I think 50,000 people net. So it's more than that because we still have, and there was a pause in the negative numbers, I think last year, and he really talked it up, but it was pretty much all illegal.
Yeah.
So once the border closed, I knew it was going to go down once the border was shut. That could not be sustained at all. So are you a Bianco or Hilton fan? Or are you not going to divulge that?
Yeah, I mean, I like them both. I'm rooting for both of them. I'm half tempted to say if you're a Republican leaner, vote for the one who is behind in the hopes that we get them both of them over the finish line. That might be a bad strategy. I don't know. I've met Steve Hilton several times and like him a lot. I don't know, just speaking analytically, I'm not sure if a I say this, we had Governor Arnold. So right. It sounds silly to say, I'm not sure someone with a foreign accent will do well statewide in California, but I do think that
but
might be
But he also
a thing,
right? wasn't the Terminator, so.
True, correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, when we come back, As I teased earlier, I want to talk about the LA mayor's race because that is probably one of the, it actually makes me halfway enjoy politics again. So we will talk about that. Stay with us. You're listening to Free Talk California.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Taylor Riggs, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages kicking off the new trading week lower with the Dow down sharply while the NASDAQ and S&P 500 retreated from record highs as U.S.-Iran tensions flare and oil prices spike. Escalating oil prices and inflation worries are dragging on investor sentiment. They're also cautious ahead of Friday's jobs report for April. Treasury yields jumped on inflation fears. Most all of the S&P 500 sectors were lower with tech and industrials the worst performers while energy gained. The magnificent seven big cap tech stocks were also mostly lower, led by NVIDIA and Apple. However, shares of Amazon rose over 1% for a record close. The Dow winners, Amazon, Salesforce, and Chevron. The Dow decliners, Goldman Sachs, Caterpillar, and Home Depot. The Dow down 557 points. The NASDAQ lower by 47. S&P 500 down 29. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Why does Progressive love protecting truckers? Because truckers unite the world. Truckers unite candles and yoga instructors. Truckers unite fake plants with people who shouldn't own living plants. Truckers unite French press coffee makers with the most pretentious person you know. But truckers can't do any of this if they're not on the road. That's why Progressive now offers truckers even more protection on cargo with its enhanced Cargo Plus coverage. Get a quote in as little as 8 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Coverage subject to policy terms, limits, and conditions. Not available in California.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
The Downtown Paso Robles Main Street Association is pleased to announce the annual Paso Robles Olive and Lavender Festival this Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. in the downtown city park. Enjoy everything the olive and lavender industries have to offer. Demonstrations, arts, crafts, collectibles, food, and more. The annual Paso Robles Olive and Lavender Festival this Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. in the downtown city park. Admission is free. More info at pasorobelsdowntown.org.
All right, welcome back to our last stretch. And yes, I want to talk LA because LA is our big city. It's the city we love to hate. But, you know, I grew up going there for the museums. I lived there briefly. I lived there, it was over 10 years ago, but I had the cutest little apartment in Los Feliz for $700 a month.
Oh, my. Yeah. That's a great area, too.
Yes. It was across the street from where Walt Disney drew Mickey Mouse. You know, there's all those old haunted, you know, Hollywood mansions that you would see in a Barbara Stanwyck movie. I mean, there's just something magical about Los Angeles. And so I really hate. And when I lived there, downtown just had this renaissance and it was becoming a really fun place. And there are those beautiful movie theaters that you'd go to old movie nights. All About Eve was showing, I remember one night. I don't know. It's just really criminal what's happened to that city, even before they burned down 7,000 homes.
Yeah. So you mentioned living across the street briefly from where Walt Disney drew Mickey Mouse and all the rest of that. And it's a measure of the complete collapse of L.A. that the film industry is cratering.
It's cratering.
Now has lower employment in the industry now than during COVID when it was largely shut down.
Wow.
And there's been some great, there's been some good reporting on this in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times. I don't know about the LA Times, which is barely a little shopper's rag anymore.
Yeah.
I grew up in the LA area when it was, you know, the same size as the
paper.
New York. Right. It was a real paper. It was liberal, but still you subscribed. And it's amazing. Some of the reporting is that people who are in the production business will tell you, it's easier to get permits and shoot movies and TV shows in New York City than in L.A. Everything takes three times as long in L.A. and costs twice as much. There's all kinds of crazy permit requirements, all kinds of... And so Mayor Bass, her answer is, well, we'll set up a special office to help you cut through red tape, which is ridiculous. And now we're talking about, maybe we need to have subsidies for the film industry.
That's the solution to everything.
Right.
Regulate so everything's unaffordable and then spend more taxpayer money for subsidies when you just had to cut the red tape.
Well, once again, it's like, how do you make a state that's so beautiful make hundreds of thousands of people want to leave? How do you take one of the great industries of the state that started here a century ago and was tremendous wealth as well as, you know, the cultural impact of it, right? And how do you make it so unprofitable that everyone's leaving the state and shrinking the studios?
Yeah, isn't Georgia becoming the new film hub? Georgia.
Right. Well, they've given big tax credits. Most states have these tax credits, and I'm against those. But on the other hand, they're pushing on an open door because a lot of people here say, I just can't put up with L.A. anymore.
Right. And it's not just the movie stars. I mean, when I lived there, it seemed like everyone had something to do with the industry. I mean, you're doing jingles or music or sets, costumes, working for an agent. I mean, everyone I knew had something to do with it.
Right. Well, you know, something Ronald Reagan used to say that he learned, why he was for lower taxes, is I learned when I was making movies in the 40s and the 50s that if I'm not working, that means 200 other people are not working. Mm-hmm. And it's the grips and the lighting people and the sound person and the set designers and all the rest of that. Those people are usually not on salary. They're hired on a piecework or contract basis. Yep. And that's probably 2/3 of the total employment in the industry. So I noticed this in the employment report, I think 2 months ago, that Hollywood employment had shrunk, or the film industry employment had shrunk by something like 15,000 people. Well, those would be mostly salaried people at, you know, Paramount and Warner Brothers. And that meant that the number of people who were not getting hired on a new project was much larger than that. Mm-hmm. So,
well, and AB5 really must have dinged.
What's that?
Was it AB5, anti-freelancer, and it affected so many? I think they modified it so it didn't hit Hollywood.
Right. Of course not, because Hollywood's their constituents. But, right. They only wanted to punish Uber and Lyft.
But yeah, so, you know, the mayor's race, it floored me that Karen Bass had the audacity to run again.
Yes.
Based on what she's done. just the fires. Just the fires should have been the death to her campaign. She should not. She's polling something at 30%. She should. Who's showing up for that poll? I mean, who? It's just shocking. So she jumped in, and then Spencer Pratt, who was a reality show. I've talked to him a bit on this show because he just turned himself into a voice for the fire victims, and he helped lead the lawsuit that is winning. I mean, they are turning up damning evidence against not only Bass but Newsom, right. His orders, the lethal, not just incompetence, but it seems malicious incompetence,
right.
That has destroyed the lives of thousands of people, killed people. So he jumped in, and then this very far left city councilwoman, Nithya Raman, who I think they were kind of trying to portray her as a Mamdani because she's a DSA member, a socialist. She's married to some super wealthy TV writer. I think he wrote on 30 Rock, Modern Family, some really big shows. So she's hardly a poor, voice of the people. So he's jumped in and he's just turning out these incredible just indictments, and I think he's more skillful than Trump at Trump's game of just kind of calling it like it is,
yeah,
and calling out the establishment. You know, why why are we doing this exactly? Why are we falling into line with these people who are literally ruining the city, destroying it?
Right. Well, you had he had that ad that went viral online just 2 or 3 days ago. It's the what was the title of it? They're Not Like Us, where he's outside their houses and the homeless. And it's gotten, at last I heard, which is maybe yesterday, 10 million views. Those are huge numbers. I actually think that he's going to surge and likely win unless there's a mistake or something.
I think he's going to win.
Yeah. So that gives you a little bit of hope, right? People, you and I and others.
Well, it made me hopeful. It made me want to run. It's like, why are we sitting around letting these career people who don't even know how to do anything? I learned this when I was in D.C., and now I'm, helping my husband run a ranch and trying to run these little businesses where you just have to do things. You don't even sit around and think about it. You got meat to sell, you start selling it. You go off on the side of the road. I was on the side of the road on Highway 46 on Saturday selling bison meat. You do what you got to do. Just do it. And these political types, they literally, they're so terrified of making a decision to do anything. They'd rather make a non-decision that costs taxpayers millions of dollars by setting up committees and study things, and no one will actually do anything.
Right. Yeah.
So that's why we have the homeless crisis. It's why we have the money draining public rail, that's never going to be built. Part of it is a graft, I'm convinced, but part of it is because these people literally cannot do anything. They can't build. They can't do anything.
Well,
they sit in offices and look at the computer.
Right. Well, for years, you and I and people like us have been saying, how bad do things have to get before people wake up and want to change? Well, I do think you saw a glimpse of we may be getting that point finally, and maybe we have passed it. We'll see. It's a tough election scene because nationally it doesn't look like a good year for Republicans because of Trump and just the usual cycle of things. On the other hand, one of the things that was so striking about the 2024 election results is that Trump, without campaigning in California, without spending money here, gained a ton of votes. And where did he gain them? He gained them overwhelmingly in working class, lower class, Hispanic neighborhood. Some of those Hispanic neighborhoods in East L.A. swung 20 points toward Trump from 4 years and 8 years before. It's unbelievable shifts. And, that just looks like the beginning to me, and there's other indicators I could point to. But if that continues, then suddenly it's not out of reach to elect somebody sensible. But maybe not a typical conservative Republican. But I'm not sure what Spencer Pratt is exactly. But I'm old enough to remember, because I grew up in L.A., and maybe there's some retired people in the area who remember Sam Yorty. He was the mayor of L.A. in the late 60s. He was a conservative Democrat who later changed parties and became a Republican. But he used to beat back the liberal Democrats running for mayor. It was nonpartisan in those days, including Tom Bradley, the first time Tom Bradley ran, which I think was 68 or 70, and maybe 70. He ran as a sort of, liberal, black, like a Willie Brown type, and you already beat him easily on just old-fashioned competence. I'm an old-fashioned Democratic mayor. I'm going to run a city the way they're supposed to be run. And then Bradley finally was elected mayor. It seemed like he was there for 20 years. I think he was there for 20 years. But he moved much to the center. He was a pretty mediocre guy, but he wasn't a leftist and incompetent like Bass. And so I look for those kind of days to come back, and I don't know. We'll see.
Yes, we'll see. If it didn't take 7,000 houses burning down, people dying in their homes, and then not even being able to get permits to rebuild their own homes, and Chinese shell corporations coming up and buying up some of our most beautiful, most valuable land.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah. Then we're truly demoralized and they can do what they want. But I'm going to be optimistic. All right. Well, thank you so much, Steve, for coming in. And thanks to all of you for tuning in. Next week, we're going to be talking about chemtrails. I have a guest in who is just filed the first federal lawsuit against geoengineering, and it's a doozy. All right. We'll talk soon. See you next week.
Free Talk.
Talk California is brought to you by A-Town Diner in Atascadero on El Camino Real. Now open for dinner every night. Ask about the daily specials. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 2 o'clock.